Last week, if you were here, we talked about how the kingdom of God is like a football game. Is that right? We had five things we saw. Was it true? Yeah, we're all on a team, and we've been called to be on that team. Isn't that awesome? And God's called us to suit up for the game. And what kind of equipment has he given us? The kind that's for full contact, right? As we watched the game last Sunday, even though maybe our team, the Chiefs, didn't do so well, all right? That's true. And wasn't that one of our points? There are no perfect games. There are no perfect players. And we talked about how the game is won or lost away from the ball. Was that true? Did you get to witness that? That's true. We talked about learning the playbook, knowing it. Did you notice when they got in the huddle? Nobody pulled out a playbook. They already knew it. And the quarterback would give the call, and everybody knew what that was. And, of course, the fifth one, most important, was that we don't stop playing until the last whistle sounds. Someone came up to me after the message last week and said, it's also true, Pastor, that when you're in the middle of a play, there's a phrase they use, play through the whistle. Play through the whistle on individual plays. In other words, you think the play's over, but it may not be over. Not until you hear the whistle. So I want to encourage you today to apply those principles. And I have a friend joining me on the platform today. This is Charlie, the referee. This is Charlie. Charlie, he used to be at Dillon's, and my daughter was shopping there, and it was after the Super Bowl, or the day of the Super Bowl, right? And they offered to give these away. And so she picked it up, gave it to my grandson to put in his bedroom because he's a big football fan. And I said, would you mind if I borrow it and I'll bring it back to you. So it's going to stay here for a little while. But Charlie's given the sign we all want to see, right? Yeah, that's the touchdown. All right, that means points are being scored. And today, we're going to be looking at some game changers that actually will take us into the end zone. In fact, if I can be so bold to say, the plays we're going to consider today, they're guaranteed to get into the end zone if you'll play them the way they were written. You say, well, what is a game changer? We hear that term a lot. Well, I looked in the Webster Dictionary, and here's the definition I found. A newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. Who needs a game changer in your life? Who needs that? That's something I'm seeking for, and I want you to know this season that we're getting ready to celebrate, it's a game changer, and it changes in a significant way the way we live. Now, I want to show you a little clip today I found of a high school basketball team, and tell me if they don't meet the definition of a game changer. Watch these two teams. That's so good. We need to watch it in slow motion, don't you think? Foot shot. And they won the game, the championship game. Two high schools in Chicago. Awesome. Is there a little excitement? Well, you need to be that excited. Is that right? Because what is that? That's a game changer, isn't it? It went the opposite of what everybody thought just by one play. And this morning, we're going to look at three game-changing plays. Now, you have an insert in your bulletin. If you're at home, you can take a piece of paper and just write down. I have three little referees here where you can write down the game-changing plays we're going to talk about today. And what I want you to do before we look at them, I want you to write three words on your paper by each one of these, okay? And they all begin with you. I want you to write the words unexpected on number one, number two, undercover, and number three, unlimited, all right? Now leave room because you got more writing to do, but we want those three words, unexpected, undercover, and unlimited. You ready for the first play? I guarantee if you play this the way it's written, it's going to be amazing. Here's play number one, unexpected love. Unexpected love. We're going to go to the playbook. You got your playbook. We're going to go to the playbook. And we have two scriptures you'll see there on the screen, Matthew 5, 43 through 48. And then we're going to look at Romans 12, verses 18 through 21. So let's go to Matthew. Jesus is speaking here. He's about ready to give us a play. It's unexpected, totally unexpected. But this play, if you'll play it the way it's written, it can be a game changer in your life and in the lives of others. What did Jesus say? Well, he just finished preaching, of course, a famous Sermon on the Mount. And then he gives these teachings as a spinoff. And in verse 43, he says the unexpected. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, and go through the scripture and find every time Jesus said, well, you've heard this, but I say to you. What's he getting ready to do? He's getting ready to kick the game up a notch. He said, this is the way the game's always been played, but I'm about ready to introduce a game changer. Listen to this. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Anybody trip over that a little bit? Boy, that's a hard play, isn't it? He goes on. He says, do this that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? And then verse 48. Can this really be true? Therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, because of everything I just said, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. How many of you here think of yourself as perfect today? Huh? You read that verse, yeah, he's talking about me, isn't he? Just turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about me. And your neighbor's going to go, you're not so perfect. But Jesus said we were to be perfect as he is perfect. Now, to really understand that and not trip over that word, we have to understand it as the Greeks understood it. The Greek philosophers, whenever they used that word, this is what it meant. It meant something is perfect if it has fully fulfilled its intended function. Something is perfect if it has fulfilled its intended function. So here's the application I want to make on this first play. We are fulfilling the intended function that we were created for when we play this play. Jesus said, if you'll do this, you will be perfect as I am perfect. Well, yeah, look at verse 45. What did he say? That you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Our heavenly Father does it, and so we are his children. Amen. We reflect his nature. Is that true? I'm reflecting his nature today. Because God is that way with people, he wants his children to be that way as well. In Leviticus 19:12, not on the screen, the writer says, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God was speaking through the prophet. He called the people to be holy. How many of you get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, I'm holy? Nay, maybe not so much. But actually you are. Because God has called you and separated you. We were praying in the prayer room today, and just the Holy Spirit prayed through us the idea of the tabernacle, which we talked about earlier, that when a vessel was taken and put into the tabernacle, it became sanctified and holy. What made it holier than what it was the day before it came into the tabernacle? It was its purpose and place. God has separated you unto himself. That's what holy means. You are holy. And because he is holy. Now, I know. I'm not God. Ask my wife. I'm not God. I'm not holy like he's holy. But I do reflect his holiness in my life. I want to more and more, right? I'm not Jesus, but I hope I remind people of him. And they know, hey, that must be a son or daughter of God because of the way they live and the way they act. And that's why Jesus said, if you'll do this, if you'll play this play, if you'll show unexpected love to those who are... I mean, it's easy. Today's Valentine's Day, right? Did y'all do your part? You know, I tried to get my wife out of the house yesterday. I had to wait down the street in my truck waiting for her to leave on my phone because I wanted to put something on the table and I didn't want to do it while she was there. And she was supposed to leave and she didn't leave. I even had to call and change an appointment. Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. And I waited until I saw the car. I got the little tracker on my phone, you know. And I saw her pull away. So I ran over there real quick and I put the flowers on the table and I found this giant card. And I told her, I said, this card, it was the biggest card. It's not big enough. It's just not big enough, right? Well, of course I'm going to do that. I love my wife. She's not my enemy. She's my friend. Amen. She's my soulmate. She's my lover. She's everything to me. It's easy. She makes loving easy. But my enemies? Not so much. But Jesus has given us a play. And when he gave it to us, I had to think, Lord, are you sure about this? He said, not only if you'll play this play the way it's written, you'll be perfect as I am perfect. You will fulfill your function. This is a perfect play. Romans 12, 18 through 21, the New International Version says it this way. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, aren't you glad Paul said that? He didn't leave that out because this is going to be difficult too. It's another difficult play. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. How's that going? Especially today. A little more difficult, isn't it? Do not take revenge. And that's hard on the field of play, especially if somebody hits you hard and knocks you down. You ever see the little scrimmage, little fights? Well, what do you expect? I mean, people are running into each other, and man, it hurts, you know, and you want to get up and do a little payback, don't you? It's normal, it's human, natural, but we're not talking about natural. See, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you something different. We're going to play on a different level. He's going to kick the game up a notch. It's a game changer. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. So that's God. Remember the three parts? God's part, my part, other people's part. What did the writer just give us? He gave us God's part. My part is not to seek revenge. That's not my part. It's not what I do. That's God's part. Here's your part. He says, on the contrary, here's how I want you to play the play. Are you ready? Can you receive this? You believe it before you read it? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink and don't put anything in the drink, okay? I know what you're thinking. I'll give him a drink, all right. Mm-mm. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Say, now we're talking. That sounds a little bit like revenge. Well, not if you understand what he's really saying. In Bible days, if you lived out in the desert, it got really hot during the day and really cold at night. And you would go from place to place and you lived in a tent. And what's the most important thing you have besides food? You need heat. We know about that today, don't we? We need heat. We need some warmth, right? And so they would heap coals of fire on their heads in a bowl and they would carry it to the next place. Well, here's the scenario. Your enemy's coals have went out. He's going to be cold tonight. And you're supposed to heap coals of fire on his head. You're not just going to give him a couple coals. His bowl is going to be overfilled. You're going to give him more than enough. Why, you might even short yourself a little to help him. That's unexpected. That didn't see that coming, did you? And they didn't either. And that's what's so powerful about it. Jesus ended by saying, do not be overcome by evil. Or Paul, I'm sorry. Paul said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, if you play this play the way it's written, I guarantee you, Charlie's going to raise up his hands and he's going to say, touchdown. You ready for game? You ready for play number two? This is a game changer. This is change. Here it is, game changer. We're going to keep reading. Undercover giving and prayer. This is game changer number two. We're going to keep reading in Matthew 6, and we're also going to look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. And so let's just keep reading. You say chapter 6. Well, there was no chapter when Jesus was speaking. This is to help us find things in the Bible. Jesus is just continuing on with this conversation, and here's what he said. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Now, that's you've never been tempted by that, have you? You ever done something good and you'd like a pat on the back and no one noticed and you felt a little offended by that? Well, according to this play, you may be in the best position possible for God's blessing. Surely I say to you, if that is their goal, then they have their reward. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you, even in giving in the church, and we're so grateful for your gifts, and I know this has been a difficult year, and people not being here. Frank talked about the box in the back. Well, now we're giving online and we're doing all kinds of different. And God's been gracious this last year. You're going to see at the business meeting, we finished strong this year. And I'm not saying, we're so tempted to say, I just can't believe it. That's a terrible thing to say. Well, of course I can believe it. It's God's people, right? And many of you gave and no one knew. It was I didn't even know. You're giving undercover. And Jesus says, that's awesome. That's what I want. Because if you're giving just to be seen by men, if you're giving just for the that a boy, that's all you get. That's all you get. I'd like more. I want to get into the end zone. See, if you're just playing to be seen by men, you might get a couple yards. But I want to go all the way. How about you? Well, then Jesus says this. And when you pray, just like giving, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, he's not saying, some people take the scripture and say, well, we don't need to pray publicly or as a group. We need to not pray where other people can hear us. That's not what he's saying. You're missing the point. He's saying people pray to be heard by men, to be seen by men. You know, what do you mean? Well, man, that guy's a good prayer, isn't he? I just thought, man, he's spiritual, isn't he? Man, he's a holy man. I'll tell you, some of the most effective prayers are people you don't know anything about. There are people in this church who are praying, having effects right now that you see, but you don't know why. It's because people are praying as Jesus is about to describe. He said, but you, when you pray, he's about ready to kick the game up a notch, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You see people who are blessed. Have you ever thought this? Maybe you thought it. You didn't say it because you knew it wouldn't be right to say it. But you thought, why is that person so blessed? Man, I'm not blessed. They're so blessed. I'll tell you, sometimes it's a secret. It's what they've been doing in secret that has opened the windows of heaven upon their life and poured out blessings that you can't even imagine. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. How many of you think the longer the prayer, the more spiritual? Not true. In fact, some of the most powerful prayers I've seen have just been two words. Help me. Some, thank you, Jesus. You know, these are powerful words. I love to listen to children pray because they don't get all caught up in the verbiage and how it sounds, you know. And some people say, well, I don't like to pray in a group because, you know, my words aren't right. Listen, you're praying to be heard by men. There's nothing wrong with praying in a group, and don't worry about how you sound. We always say on Sunday night prayer meeting, hey, don't worry about it. In fact, you may pray it in a way and I might be going, what? But God's fixing that prayer on the way up because he knows your heart. He knows your heart. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. And he gives us what we know as the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, depends on whether you're reading from the King James or not, New King James. Our Father, might say, which art in heaven? That's the way we memorize it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Good stuff, huh? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from the evil one. Do not lead us into temptation, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Remember this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide. This is an individual thing, okay? That's why we're talking about undercover, individual, private, secret. You must individually decide in your heart how much to give. See, when it's in the heart, no one sees your heart. It's an undercover thing. And some of you, God's speaking things in your heart about praying and giving, and he's causing you, maybe he's leading you in prayer, Maybe he's drawing you to something. Maybe he's having you give and you don't even know why. This is undercover giving. It is amazing, powerful. Think of it. God is your source and you are the channel. God's looking for channels. He's looking for dispensers who he can trust. The other day, somebody gave Connie and I an envelope, laid it. We didn't even see who it was, laid an envelope on a table where we were sitting. We opened it up, it had money in it. I didn't need that money. I'm appreciative, but I mean, my bills are paid. I'm well taken care of. So why do I have this money? See, that's the point you got to get. This is a game changer. Lord, why do I have this money? It's your money. What do you want us to do with it? And we pray. And God will tell you. And he'll speak it to your heart. Listen to this. This is your filter. Don't give reluctantly. Well, if I have to, you know. Don't respond to pressure. Oh, this is big. And forgive me if I've ever done it. To pressure you to do something. When I pressure you, you walk the other way. You don't give because of pressure. You don't even give, King James says, you don't even give because there's a need. You might give when there's not a need. It's not because there's a need. It's because God has spoken to your heart. It's that undercover giving, that secret, private place that God is working in our lives. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. If you can't give cheerfully, don't give at all. But I don't say that because we'll take your uncheerful gifts, let me tell you. But I'd rather you be cheerful so you could get the blessing. Amen. Otherwise, you're just giving out of duty. And he said, don't do that. Well, you know. God says you got to tithe. Are you going to? No, I give. Listen, the tithe is just the beginning. When you have a visitation of Jesus, everything's going to change for you, especially generosity. You're just going to be so generous. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about your talents. It's amazing what God will do. Well, he goes on. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Again, have you ever looked at other people? Say, why are they always have enough? Maybe it's something going on in their heart you don't know about. And they're doing an undercover play. And they're getting into the end zone. And you're wondering how they got there. You ready for game changer number 3? This is the most difficult one. You ready? Unlimited forgiveness. Unlimited forgiveness. We're going to pick up here. Jesus is still talking. He just gave us the Lord's Prayer. And isn't it interesting? Jesus said before he gave us the prayer that we're not to pray repetitiously, right? What have we done with this prayer? We did exactly what he told us not to do, right? We all know it. Now, don't get me wrong. I say the Lord's Prayer a lot. I'll say it. At graveside services, I always pray the Lord's Prayer, depending on who I'm ministering to. Nothing wrong with saying the Lord's Prayer, okay? But I can tell you, he didn't mean this prayer just to be something you memorized. He meant for this to be a model for you when you pray. Because a lot of times when we go to pray, I like to listen to people pray. It tells you a lot. Tells you a lot. What's the first thing? Lord, can you help me with this problem? Lord, you know, we got this need. How does Jesus say you start to pray? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. It's worship. That's how you begin. Lord, I'm praying your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. You know what that really says in the text? It says, may your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. Bring that to earth. See, that's what I'm wanting the will of God. It's not about me. It's something much bigger. It's about the kingdom. Yeah, give us this day our daily bread. That's in the middle of the prayer. Notice it's daily. Some of you are praying to win the lottery. Lord, just give me what I need. My definition of prosperity is simply this, having enough to do what God wants you to do. I didn't say having enough to squeak by. I said having enough to do what God wants you to do. What might God want you to do? Well, he might want you to bless a missionary. He might want you to give to a neighbor. He might want to use you as a dispenser. Having enough to do. I don't need any more than that. Now, for some people, that might be millions of dollars. For some people, it might be thousands. Who knows? But God is working undercover in people's hearts, right? And then he talks about temptation. What's the most important part of that prayer? Well, here's the fascinating thing to me. soon as he finishes the prayer, he goes back to it and pulls something out of it. It's verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Does that seem a little hard? Isn't it interesting? I thought, Jesus, I want you to just pick one thing out of the prayer to keep talking about. Well, temptation would have been my choice. How about yours? Hey, Lord, talk about this temptation thing. Hey, talk about this kingdom thing. Talk about this daily bread thing. No. Of all the things I said in that prayer, I'd like to talk to you about forgiveness. Why? Because it's going to be the most difficult thing. The most difficult thing. The definition of forgiveness is this. You can write it down. This word means to release from obligation, to pardon, or to cancel a debt. To make a decision to release somebody from an obligation, to pardon them. We've heard a lot about pardons. Whenever a president gets ready to leave office, what's he do? He issues a lot of pardons. We all talk about who had the most pardons. Boy, if you ever received one of those, you're going to be pretty grateful, right? Yeah, we're canceling the debt. But here's what you got to understand about forgiveness, because here's why it's so hard for us. Because we're focusing on the other person. We're focusing on the person who had the debt. We're focusing on the person who has the obligation. You're missing the point. You want to be perfect as he is perfect? You're going to forgive as God forgives. Here's the deal. Forgiveness, forgiveness is not the end of the play. We think of it like, okay, that's the goal. No. Forgiveness is the vehicle that takes you to the goal, which is Romans 8:29. We all know Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for good to those who love God, called according to his purpose. Yes, ching, ching. Next verse. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of Christ. Now let's bring this all together. You see him, what Jesus is saying? Because he said, just like I have the sun rise on the just and the unjust, that's the way I want you to love your enemies. Now what's he saying? Now you're going to forgive people. You're going to release them from debt. You're going to release them from the obligation that they owe you. They owe you. But in this game-changing play, you are going to make a decision to release them from the debt. And what will that do? Here's what you're missing. This is why you ought to run to this. It will change your life. You're too busy thinking about that other person. And, well, they didn't say they're sorry. When Jesus healed the lepers, he only got one thank you out of 10. You think you're going to get a sorry? Maybe. Or sometimes I tell my wife, I'm sorry. She says, I've heard that a lot. I'd like for you to change your behavior. She still forgives me, but she'd like for... You see, when she forgives me, even though I have been guilty multiple times, I could share some things I'm not going to, but she knows. She knows. It changes her. Makes her more like Jesus when she releases the debt. Luke 7, 14 through 10, Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says, even if that person wrongs you seven times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. Disciples all gathered around. They're on the edge of their seats. Give it to me. I want you to forgive seven times, even if it's seven times a day and that person comes back seven times. Is that just a little out of bounds? I mean, the law said you forgave three times. So Jesus has kicked it up a notch. No, seven times. If you were one of the disciples, what would you say next? What did they say? Well, the next verse, the apostles looked at the Lord and said, we need more faith. I'm talking faith forgiveness. Faith forgiveness. You can't do it in and of yourself. This is something God's going to do in you. It's faith forgiveness. When you can't even see, in fact, you think it was a waste of time to forgive, you're focused on the other person. What is God doing in you as you release that debt? Well, the Lord answered them when they asked for faith. He said, if you have the faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the seed, and it would obey you. Mustard seed. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can walk in unlimited forgiveness. And then he tells a story that seems out of place, but it has a truth in it that will help you. He says, when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come and eat with me? No. He says, prepare my meal and put on your apron and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. He says, does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? What's he saying? It's his job. He says, of course not. In this same way, are you ready? It's a game changer. In this same way, when you obey me, you should say, I am an unworthy servant. I've simply done my duty. What's that got to do with forgiveness? Remember the definition, remember? We're fulfilling our intended purpose when we forgive. When we release somebody from an obligation, when we pardon or cancel the debt, you say, man, am I not spiritual or what? You know, you ought to be thankful, man. You ought to be thankful you offended a righteous man. So I can forgive you. You're an unworthy servant, is what you are. And you're just doing what God told us to do. He said, play the play. Can you see people getting out on the field to play? And they do the play and they go, hey, coach, man, am I not good? You're lucky you got me. No, you do the play the way I told you. Just do it. Do it. Obey me. Why? Because I'm going to conform you to my image, and you're going to be holy as I am holy. You're going to be perfect as I am perfect. You are going to fulfill your intended function, and your function is to offer unlimited forgiveness to those around us. It's what separates us, that we love as God loves. It's how they know we are the disciples. And I close with this scripture, my favorite story. You know, I refer to it often because it has personal implication into my life and my own journey of forgiveness. Peter shows up again in Matthew 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone's sins? Seven times? Oh, where did he get that at? You know what Peter was after, don't you? Lord, I just want you to know I was listening. I was listening to the lesson. Do I get a gold star? Do I? A little applaud. Peter, you were listening. Good job. You remembered when I said seven times. No, Peter. No, not seven times. What? It's what you said. No. 70 times seven. How much is that, math major? Is it 490? Chantel? 490, okay. 490 times, okay. Oh, man, now I got to get a longer piece of paper. 490 times, that's a long. You know what Jesus is saying? Stop counting. It's unlimited. That's what he's saying. It's unlimited. Stop counting. And then he tells this crazy story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. And in the process, one of his debtors was brought before him who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay. I mean, he made minimum wage, okay? How's he going to pay millions of dollars? What kind of debt is that? Impossible. It's impossible debt, right? He couldn't pay it. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt, which wouldn't have been enough. But that's how they did it in that day. You know, when the collection agency came, they put you in debtor's prison, which is so backwards. I want you to pay this debt, and I'm going to put you in prison where you can't earn any money till you pay the debt. What's that mean? That's life in prison. And now he's going to sell his kids, his everything. But the man fell before his master and begged him, please, please, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. That's kind of silly, isn't it? How are you going to pay an impossible debt? But you're trying to do it all the time, aren't you? I do it. Trying to earn our way. being good, being righteous. And, you know, hey, it says be holy, so I'm going to be holy. Right? You cannot pay this debt. It is totally God's mercy and grace, isn't it? And Jesus is trying to tell him, this is the kingdom. This is how the kingdom works. This man fell down. He begged him. He paid, and the master was filled with compassion, and he released him and forgave him the debt. Is that our definition of forgiveness? He just modeled it for us, to release from obligation, to pardon or cancel a debt. That is forgiveness. God just modeled it. Be holy as he is holy. Be perfect as he is perfect. Fulfill your function. Fulfill your function. Complete your function, right? We're to be like him. We are, that's what he said over there when he first started the discussion. You may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Hey, it's how I know you're my children. It's your purpose. Well, what happens next is almost unthinkable. When the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few hundred dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and he demanded payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little time. Gee, had he heard that before? Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. His own words are being spoken. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put into prison until the debt could be paid. That is the craziest story ever. Oh, it happens every day. I've played that play. I have been forgiven an impossible debt, and I hold people accountable for chump change. See, it's not chump change to me. They really hurt me deeply. I agree. This thing's too big to forgive. They haven't said I'm sorry. Be careful how you play this play. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset, and they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. And then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant." Now get this. When you walk in unforgiveness, it's wickedness. Wicked means to twist, like the wick on a candle or a wicker chair. When you walk in unforgiveness, you're walking in your flesh. He said, "You wicked servant, after all I forgave you, an impossible debt because you pleaded with me, because you asked me, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" He won the lottery. And then he goes and tries to collect a few hundred dollar debt. That's exactly what we do with this play. When the angry king sent the man to the prison, he sent him there to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. You know what that was, right? He got flagged on the play. I know people who are tortured every day. They're in debtor's prison, and they've locked other people in there, and they're not letting them out. But if you can play this play and realize, here's our problem. The reason we can't forgive is because you lost your amazement at what you have been forgiven. You're just not amazed enough. You've lost your wow. When you get that back and realize, man, I've been forgiven an impossible debt, then forgiveness should be unlimited and it should be easy. And that's why Jesus said, stop counting. When you realize what I've done for you, and of course the story doesn't, it would have been nice if we could have just ended with him leaving and rejoicing. He says, and that's what the Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. So we're going to come to the table this morning. This is a game-changing table, I'm telling you. And we're going to reflect on a scripture as we take communion today. And if you're at home, you can get a cup, bread. You've probably already done that because you know we're going to do this. And you can join us. But as you do, before you drink from the cup and before you eat the bread, I want you to reflect on these scriptures. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. This first one, this verse 30. Wow. This is your position, okay? Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as his own. He is guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Do you got it? See, this is what makes it possible for you to come to the table. And Steve's going to, he's going to lead us. I don't know what God's laying on his heart today, but we want to worship as we come to the table, reflecting on these very words. Because look what he says in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. You know what get rid of means in the original text? It means like your clothes are on fire. If your clothes were on fire, would you unbutton your shirt as you're taking it off? Not me. I'm ripping that thing off, right? I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it off. That's the spirit of it. Rip off all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. That's the penalty flag. You don't want to play that play. Instead, here it is, verse 32. This is what God wants to do in us today. Instead, be kind to each other. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. That is a game changer. That is a game changer. Father, as we prepare our hearts today to come to this table, we want to reflect on this reality. You have identified us. You have marked us. You have sealed us by your Holy Spirit for redemption. We are your sons and daughters. We're on your team. You'd called us. And now the playbook has been read. Would you help us be perfect as you are perfect, to be holy because you are holy? May we reflect your image in all we do. Lord, we need this in our lives. This is a game changer for us. Help us to play the play exactly as they were written. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, we rejoice that we are forgiven. An impossible debt has been paid. We have been pardoned and released from our obligation. We are no longer working for something. We have received your free gift. And now we want it to change the way we live our lives. Lord, because of what you've done for us, it's a game changer for us. It's a game changer in our relationships. It's a game changer in our families and homes, our neighborhoods, where we work, and in the church. Lord, we take this time this morning to remember and reflect on what you've done and the tremendous gift you've given to us in the breaking of your body and the shedding of your blood. We have been forgiven. And now, as we remember this, we want to make a commitment today that we will live our lives in a way that's worthy of the sacrifice that's been given. We are amazed. We are overwhelmed. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, would you stand with me, please? I want you to have a perfect week this week. I want you to fulfill your intended function by playing these plays. It's about, are you a game changer? I want to challenge you to be a game changer. God's your game changer. Now you're going to be a game changer this week. Unexpected love. Would you commit to that? Say, Lord, give me opportunities to love in ways that would be unexpected. Undercover giving and prayer. Lord, would you give me opportunities maybe to experience secret giving? It's fun. Let me tell you. If your day's boring, start giving. And do it secretly. Don't tell a soul. And watch what happens. And pray. Not just to be seen by men, but I want to encourage you. That prayer room, that's a place you can come. You know that's 24/7, right? You can come there anytime. You say, well, we can pray anywhere. You're right. But Jesus said, go in and shut the door. I think there's something about having a place. Remember War Room, that movie? Wasn't that great? You ought to read the story of the lady who played that part. It's powerful how she got that role and what that meant. But little did they know how powerful that movie would be. It's addressing what Jesus said. Get you a place and spend time there praying in secret. And the God who sees in secret will reward you openly. And then let that overflow in a natural response, unnatural response of unlimited forgiveness. Now, as I talked about that today, I know a name came to your mind. A person. Maybe more than one. And that's not by accident, because God is speaking. He's whispering in your ear. And he's encouraging you to fulfill your function. Could you release or pardon someone that is obligated to you? You have the right to put them in debtor's prison, but you choose not to. In fact, you have somebody in debtor's prison right now, and only you hold the key. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. So you're too focused on that person. Don't you understand what God wants to do in you? He will change you. It will be a game changer in your life when you open that door and pardon that individual. But what if they do it again? Stop counting. That's what Jesus said. You understand, you're playing the game on a whole new level. And if you want to see that, I guarantee you play this play the way it's written, you'll get into the end zone every time. Every time. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for the opportunity today to be here with my friends, and whether that be online or in person, Lord, we are connected together in mysterious ways. And Lord, I pray you keep everybody safe today with the weather. I know down in Texas this week it was difficult. Lord, accidents that took many people's lives. And so Lord, I pray you just protect those who are out on the roads and traveling. Some have to be. They don't have a choice. I pray you protect this flock as they travel back home. And let this day be a special day as we think about Valentine's Day and our love for the ones that we love and are closest to us. May we also think of this unexpected love. Hallelujah. This undercover giving and prayer. And Lord, this unlimited forgiveness. May I be a dispenser of that. I commit to it. I pray each person here, we commit to it as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you an invitation as you leave today. If you need prayer, I'll be here to pray with you. As we like to do on your insert, or if you're at home, you made your little list, circle one of those that you'd like to focus on this week and let God just minister through. But maybe you'd like to have some prayer support. We can do that. If you want to meet during the week, let the office know. Donna keeps my schedule, and we can get together. I can come to your home. I'll wear a mask, whatever you need. Like I always say, I'll wear a space suit if that'll give me an opportunity to share Jesus or minister or encourage someone. So take advantage, all right? Be a game changer this week. God bless you. I love you. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.